Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg echoed the recommendations of Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday with what he called some translation of the guidelines.
We must follow through on the recommendations made by the governor and his public health officials. The directives, even if they're voluntary, are very clear. If you're 65 or over, please self-quarantine. Stay in for now.
All right. So then he took this a step further, and in addressing what's going to happen at bars and restaurants and wineries and brew pubs, particularly with the holiday coming up, he talked in this way about St. Patrick's Day.
I don't like to issue threats, but I mean, ultimately, the city has the police power to take dramatic action if we have to do that. And I don't want to have to do that. I know the county health officer doesn't want to have to do that either, but I do not expect that will be the case on St. Patrick's Day. Shut it down. We'll all celebrate double next year together, but shut it down.
So that was Mayor Steinberg yesterday afternoon. In the studio with me is Sammy Caola, CAP Radio reporter, who was with me in the studio yesterday afternoon and then went to Midtown. And of course, there was just no notice or short notice about all of this. But how were people in Midtown yesterday at the bars and clubs and places where the mayor and the governor want an end to business?
So astonishingly enough, some businesses were closed down by the time that I made it down there around 4 p.m. So very shortly after the order came out, there were bars that had signs on their doors that said, due to COVID-19 threat, due to state orders, we are closed. Those bars were completely dark. And then there were other bars just down the street that were packed. It seemed like people spilled out of the bars that closed and tried to find the nearest establishment where they could party. And, you know, a lot of the people I talked to were younger people, and they said, you know, we don't really feel like we're at risk. We'll be fine. The older people just need to stay inside. And, you know, if it spreads here at the bar, you know, we'll just be careful not to go near the older people. And that argument has gotten a lot of criticism. Federal health officials want really everybody to hunker down because you just never know who you're going to interact with and where it might spread. But still, there are those that, you know, really wanted to get their sort of last hurrah in. And I went to another place in East Sacramento that was similarly crowded, and even with older people, there were a lot of folks over 65 there who I talked to, and they said, yeah, we don't want to isolate, but we will if we have to, and we just wanted to get together one more time. So it was kind of this end of the world situation in a way.
Tomorrow, being St. Patrick's Day, will mark a huge social change in celebrating. It's going to be a big economic hit, of course, for a lot of businesses, restaurants, which are being advised to cut occupancy in half. And then the mayor stepped forward and said he would prefer just calling in or making online orders, pick up food or delivery as opposed to dining in. What about owners of establishments? Did you talk to any yesterday?
I was calling around and also checking on restaurants and bars' social media pages, and some of them are making changes. I know Urban Roots, which is sort of a brewery and restaurant, they're looking to go to pickup only. There is Oak Park Brewing Company, who says that they're going to stay open as a restaurant, even though they're also a brewery. So I think we're looking for some clarity still on whether bars that serve food have to close down or whether they can stay open. I know for breweries that are just breweries, they are very worried about the economic hit of this. I spoke to Peter Haldorf. He is the general manager at YOLO Brewing Company.
The beer industry is very tight. Margins are thin. It's very tough to continue working when you are losing your main source of income, which is over the bar sales. You know, we're at a good point for ourselves where we can survive for a little while, but, you know, depending on how long this goes, it does become troubling. You know, it includes bars as well, which means both streams of income for us are taken away, in-house sales and out-of-house sales.
I have spoken to breweries that are trying to get creative and do to-go beer. So they're trying to sell as many 4-packs and 6-packs and even crowlers, which are those sort of large cans of beer, as they can. And businesses are also asking people to buy gift cards online, to just go online and give whatever you can. And then you can spend that money, hopefully, in a couple of weeks or months after these places are back open.
All right, Sammy, stand by because we're going to switch the conversation to schools. I know you did a little bit of school reporting as well. And on the phone with us is Deirdre Powell. She's Director of Communications for the Natomas Unified School District. Hi, Deirdre. It's a Monday and the world is different, isn't it?
Yes, certainly. Thanks for having me.
So tell me what's happening in your district. And as we talk about food and making sure we get food to people, it's a very important conversation for schools.
Yeah, definitely. We realized when we made the decision to close schools that a lot of our children and our families depend on the meals that they get, you know, when school is open. So that was definitely at the forefront to make sure that children were still able to get fed. So what we've been able to do is during our closure, which for now we know is about 3 weeks, we are providing free lunch as well as a take-home breakfast to 15 sites in the Natomas community. They'll be at all of our schools, and families can come through. It's a pickup type of mobile delivery service because we want to definitely make sure that we keep the social distancing and people are safe. But it's free for anyone that's 18 and older, regardless of what school they attend. And the great thing is there's no paperwork required. So as long as you have a child in your presence and you come and they are 18 and under, you'll be able to get a lunch as well as a breakfast to take home for the following day.
Did I understand you correctly? The child has to be with you when you come to pick up the food?
Definitely. Yeah, that is one of the requirements, is that a child must be present, because it is a children's feeding program that we have. And so one of the requirements is that it must be eaten by a child. So as long as that child is present, the food, and we'll give you a meal for each child. So if you come with, you know, 5 children, then you'll leave with, you know, 5 lunches and 5 breakfasts to take home for the following day. Also, while we're doing the feeding, we know that students need to still learn. So we partnered with Barnes & Noble in Natomas, and they donated books, and we also purchased books that we're going to give out today at American Lakes Elementary. So as families are coming to get food, they'll also be able to get books. And we also got a donation from the Sacramento Kings yesterday of more food, and we're able to utilize that as well and give that out today, too.
I'm looking at websites across the state for various plans, Deirdre, for picking up SAC lunches or driving up to the district's kitchen vans. Is the best idea to check the school website to know what the specifics are? And I imagine this is ongoing every weekday, correct?
Correct. And so what we've done is we posted it, of course, on our district website, which is www.natomasunified.org. And we've also posted it on all of our school websites. So a parent doesn't have to look. They can just go to their normal school site and look there. And anyone in the community that's listening that needs food, as long as they have children, they can come as well. They do not have to be in the Natomas community or enrolled at our schools. It's open to anyone 18 and older. So, yeah, that's the best way to find out. We're doing this Monday through Friday. And the time is from 11:30 to 12:30 p.m., Monday, beginning today, all the way through Friday, April 3rd. And again, that's 15 sites.
11:30 to 12:30. I can imagine you getting a surge and having to stay a little later than that, Deirdre.
Well, we are ready, and we are ready to serve, and that's what it's all about, coming together, helping the community, and just trying to get through all of this as we all just try to figure out next steps.
Okay, so bring the children with you, and that is for kids 18 and under. We'll post a link to that website. And Deirdre, good luck in these weeks ahead. I think innovation, creativity, and a good spirit are going to get a lot of people through a lot of this.
I agree. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. That is Deirdre Powell, Director of Communications at Natomas Unified School District. Sammy Kayola, just a quick check back in with you. This is the day when millions of families in the state are having to put an action plan into place. Not all schools are closed. For example, Modesto has schools open Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but then is closing Thursday. Marysville is closed today, but will reopen tomorrow. But ultimately, there's some problem solving that's going on here for families.
And I know Governor Newsom wanted to give districts the ability to stay open if they needed to give parents time or options. And I was out over the weekend talking to parents, and some of them had plans. You know, they had found daycare for their younger kids, even with preschool being closed, or they were calling on grandparents to come and do extra care. But actually, that was before the quarantine order for people 65 and older. So maybe now it's harder to get grandparent care. And something interesting, I thought, was that substitute teachers who are essentially laid off for the next couple of weeks and they don't get paid time off, they're actually offering their services as not just babysitters, but also tutors to help with some of that online learning.
Well, let me just go on to say that he also addressed disability, student disabilities. And I think that's an important group to address in all of the school closings.
That is something I do want to look into this week. I'd love to hear from parents that are trying to figure out how their children, if they have either physical disabilities or intellectual disabilities or even just special needs at school, like learning needs. A lot of students have IEPs, which is basically a plan for a student with disabilities as to how they are supposed to learn. And they're supposed to learn with support and guidance. And so if the schools are not in session, parents might really struggle with finding care, special care for those kids and keeping them on their schoolwork.
You know, Sammy, we're still waiting for guidance on daycare situations, too. I know that the daycare that my granddaughter has gone to was closed today. We thought that it would be open. One of our coworkers, the daycare center that his daughter goes to, is open today. I think that's kind of a gray area. I hear that Dr. Mark Galley might have an announcement about that at some point this week.
I think we're expecting a separate announcement about that, and I'm not sure what it will be. I do know some daycares are open, and that's something some parents are relying on for their younger children.
Although there are safety issues there, too. Okay, we are keeping up on the latest news that we can. Cap Radio's healthcare reporter wearing many, many different hats this week. Sammy Kayola, thanks for joining us today. We're going to take a short break and finish up with a couple things, including a check-in with the National Weather Service, because we're in midst of some pretty remarkable winter weather right now. So stay with us. Insight continues.